You're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show. Good morning if you're just joining us. Coming up shortly, we'll have Community Garda information, where you'll hear the latest appeals and information from Ungada Shia Kana first here on the 9 till noon show. But let's get to some of your comments and a very quick one to the dilemma a listener had just before the news. Hi, Greg. In response to the lady inquiring about a service for her daughter, the lady can phone the Pastoral Centre Letterkenny on 07491 21853. The receptionist can take the information from the lady, and the client can be seen by a qualified counsellor as soon as a space becomes available, or if necessary, a counsellor may be available to see the client privately if they are free to do so. So we've retained that number here. If you didn't catch that, I'll read it out once more. You can call us and we'll pass it on to you. 07491 21853. Thank you so much for your quick response there to that. Greg, the parent struggling, the parent calling in to say their child is struggling to speak to a therapist, I would recommend they contact the Pastoral Centre in Letterkenny, as they offer great services and can also make a referral to Gemma's Legacy of Hope, another great service for young people. Another, Greg, I would recommend the website, the Irish Association for Counselling and Psychotherapy. Accredited counsellors are on this website and it's extremely beneficial. I really hope this teenager finds help. Let's see. There's loads of parking at the tourist office. If it becomes more centralised, you need to keep the parking. Yes, so keep it there maybe and have somewhere a little bit more central as well. Right, okay, that's a repeater for one. Read out shopping centre times for the heart clinic, please. I don't think I was given a time. I'll grab the times for you because they hadn't got a location yet, but I think they're going down there this afternoon, where you can go and have a quick chat and get your blood pressure checked there. I'll try and get that information for you and bring it to you. There is a one-way system starting today in Stranorlar for the next few weeks. Give extra time for drop-offs to school. Long delays in Stranorlar, avoid if possible. Indeed, they were just setting it up as I was coming through this morning. And with that in mind, a message posted up on Twin Towns Childcare. Hi, everyone. Roadworks have now begun on Railway Road. This road is now one way. No entry is permitted at the Stranorlar Chapel side. When leaving the creche, right turns only. Please allow extra time for your journeys and be aware that the road is extremely busy. Please be careful during drop-offs and collection. Right, okay. We heard from a letter writer as it relates to what appeared to be a scam where a, just for those of you who are tuning in, this lady had come out from doing her shopping. Someone claimed that she had banged into their car and said, there's a gentleman over there. He saw what happened. Now, when the lady showed great thinking in that moment, said, right, let's call the guards, they backed off then. The other person had disappeared, so it didn't work for them. Greg, that happened to us. It was near Christmas. We stopped at a shop and a man appeared out of nowhere, said my husband nearly put him off the road, accused him of being drunk and threatening to call the guards. We told him to go ahead. We had nothing to hide. I know now it was a scam trying to scare us and hoping we'd offer money. We heard nothing, but then again, we had nothing to hide. A caller says, my fear is that they will have the hate speech laws in before the trials of Aisling Murphy and the two gentlemen in Sligo that were committed by people, so the truth will be censored and people will be silenced. Everyone, like, I'm not here. We haven't even debated it yet, and I haven't looked through the I haven't looked through the hate speech laws. But, you know, we're still able to speak. And the subject of that text, which I didn't really read it all out, because I don't know who's responsible yet, because the trial hasn't happened, and I don't want to do anything to that possibly, potentially, as unlikely as possible, that could in any way compromise that. Saying where people are from is not hate speech, or having concerns about stuff isn't hate speech. But anyway, I don't know enough about the new proposals to, you know, to really actually have a say. And I think if you don't know enough about something, it's best just not saying anything until, for me, I'm on about until I've had a good read through on it. If the government can offer 14k tax-free allowance to rent out a room, why can they not do the same for long-term rentals? Again, headline looks good, but no real substance behind it. And some people feel it's just really tinkering around the edges and not really addressing the main issues. But I suppose it's another thing they're hoping that will work alongside other things, little things that might make a big deal, a difference, sorry, in the long run. A caller says, if they're going to let 16-year-olds drive, they might as well put a cut-off age, because the older drivers, most of them, still can't drive. All they do is rev the car. They all get free licences and didn't have to do the test. Well, there was an amnesty going back some time ago. I think that's a very unfair assessment of older drivers. I have not come across that, I'll be honest with you. I've never really had an issue with an older driver out and about, and that's just being completely honest with you. But your experience may be different. Feel free to come on and agree or disagree. It's completely up to you.
The Community Garda information slot is brought to you by Sheridan Security Systems, protecting what you value most. Call today and get your zero-wire alarm system from €299. Sheridan Security, 91260025.
14 minutes past 10 on this Tuesday, the 2nd of May, 2023. And it's time for our latest edition of Community Garda Information. And joining us today is Garda Claire Rafferty. Claire, thank you so much for joining us.
No bother, Greg.
Okay, quite a bit to get through, so we'll get straight into the appeals. And you're looking for the public's help in relation to a theft and burglary in the Carndonagh area.
Yeah, so Gardaí and Buncrana are appealing for information in relation to two separate incidents that occurred at the same address. And that's at Churchland Quarters, Carndonagh, and they occurred near the end of April. So the first incident was at some stage between 10 p.m. on Sunday the 23rd of April and 4 p.m. on Monday the 24th of April. So this was last week, not just the weekend gone, where a small quantity of copper wire and a few rolls of lead were stolen from outside of the house in question. And then the second incident occurred on Tuesday, the 25th of April, between 12:30 p.m. and 3:30 p.m., where the shed at the property was entered via a side door which had been left unlocked. A number of items were stolen from the shed, namely a Ryobi petrol strimmer, a Pink Rock petrol power washer, a box of Nielsen spanners, and a small quantity of copper wire and pipes. So the intruder or intruders then exited the shed by force via the front doors, which had been secured, and in the process they caused substantial damage to them. So the house in question is actually located in quite a rural location on the mountain road there. We're looking particularly of any sightings of a white Reynolds van in that area over the course of those few days. So if anyone travelled in that area and observed any suspicious activity, or if they happened to come across similar types of tools for sale on a second-hand basis, then we really would ask them to contact Gardaí in Buncrana on 074-93-20540 or on the Garda Confidential line as well, 1-800-666-111.
Okay, hopefully you get some good information in relation to that. Now, the burglary and theft of a car in Milford.
Yeah, so we're investigating this incident that happened at Grey Rocks in Milford between 6:40 a.m. and 9:30 a.m. on Thursday the 27th of April. A house was entered through the front door, which was unlocked, and the keys of the car were stolen from the hallway table. The car was then stolen from the driveway, and that was a black Audi A6. The registration number of that car is 161DL2804. Now, thankfully, this car was located yesterday in the Strabane area, so we appeal to anyone who may have observed that car being driven at any location between April the 27th and the 1st of May to contact Gardaí. So that's a black Audi A6, 161DL2804. If anyone travelled in that general area on the morning of April 27th, between those times, who had dash cam, then we ask you to make it available to us. And we can be contacted in Milford on 074-915-3060.
All right, a timely reminder then. Lock your doors, obviously, and keep your car keys out of sight.
Yeah, look, both these incidents show people see the opportunity and take it. If your door's unlocked, they're getting in, simple as that.
Yeah, okay. Burglary in Killybegs now.
Yeah, so Gardaí are investigating a burglary that occurred at a vacant house. This was in Mean Gilcarry, Killybegs. It's believed to have occurred between Thursday the 20th of April and Wednesday the 26th of April. the front door of this property had been forced open and they gained access there. The kitchen window was also smashed and a small amount of cash was stolen. The shed door at the property was then forced open and two claw bars were stolen from within it. So we appealed to residents in that area to make contact with Gardaí in Ballyshannon on 071-985-8530 if they remember seeing any sort of suspicious activity in the area over the course of those few days.
Yeah, and going at sheds again, and we had a specific warning in relation to this. I think it's high time, if we don't already, to if you have a shed, and particularly if there's items of value in it, to sort of treat it as an extension of the house in terms of alarms and security, what have you.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Right, where are we going to next? Convoy?
Yeah, so criminal damage incident in Convoy. This occurred in the early hours of Saturday, the 29th of April. We're talking approximately 1 a.m. A resident at the Green Convoy woke to the sound of smashing glass. A rock had been thrown through the downstairs front window. Now, thankfully, the resident had been upstairs in bed at the time and wasn't hurt. But we want to appeal to anyone who may have travelled in the area of the Green or within the Convoy area in general around that time who had a dash cam to make the footage available to us. If anyone has any relevant information, we ask them to contact Gardaí in Letterkenny on 074-9167-100.
All right, now an appeal in relation to a road traffic collision hit and run, actually.
Yeah, we've two hit and runs to cover, so we'll start with one in Bridge End. We're investigating this one that happened at Manorstown Crossroads Bridge End on Tuesday, the 25th of April at approximately 7:30 p.m. So the collision occurred when one car failed to yield at the crossroads and it collided with an oncoming car then. The car in question was travelling from the direction of Burt towards Derry and it was described as being small and black in colour. It did not remain at the scene, but it was driven onwards in the direction of Derry. Now again, thankfully, nobody was hurt as a result of this collision, but of course damage was caused and we want to make an appeal to other road users who travelled in that area around that time to make, again, any dash cam footage they have or any information in general, maybe someone seen this, if they want to contact us in Buncrana Garda Station for this one on 074-9320540.
Yep, their colleagues in Letterkenny also investigating a hit and run.
Yeah, so this one was at Portview Business Park on the Cullion Road, Letterkenny, on Saturday, 22nd of April. So not Saturday gone, the one before. And this was at around 11:45 a.m. We're interested in receiving the dash cam footage anyone might have who was around that area between 11:30 and midday. You know, maybe this car was seen in the general area over that half hour or so. So a car was parked at that location and considerable damage was caused to it by another vehicle. Now, we believe it could possibly be a black Vauxhall with a partial registration number of 152DL. So we're currently gathering and viewing all CCTV available in relation to this incident. We'd also like to appeal to the driver of the car in question who left the scene after the damage has been caused. Look, we would prefer if they came to us rather than us having to come to them, or anyone who has any information to come to Gardaí in Letterkenny, anyone that witnessed it, or again if there was dash cam or any footage there, and Letterkenny again can be contacted on 074-916-7100.
Now, I always find it a wee bit difficult following the dates once we cross over to a new month, and you've done very well in trying to help us with that. So if anyone wants to, a lot of these stories will be across our website as well. We'll play this back on our Facebook page, and of course it'll also be on the Garda Síochána Facebook page a little later on if you want to just double check those dates. Some people are good with it, but I'm brutal. As soon as we cross over into a new month. Okay, lastly then, a theft of a bike in Letterkenny.
Yeah, this is one we will be putting up on our Facebook page as well. So we recently received a report in relation to the theft of a racing bike from the side of a house on the Gortley Road in Letterkenny. The theft occurred in the early hours of Saturday gone there between 5 past midnight and 9:30 a.m. This bike is blue and white in colour, and the make is Planet X. So we'll put the picture of a similar bike up on our page later, and we just want to appeal to anyone who has any information in relation to this theft or in relation to the current whereabouts of it to contact Gardaí in Letterkenny, 074-916-7100.
Yeah, those bikes can be very expensive, and yeah, it sounds like one of those to me, Claire.
Again, it could be put up for sale. That's how people make money on these. So it's something to bear in mind if you see this bike for sale or any of the items we mentioned is stolen today. You know, it's a very good way of tracking down who has them. So
yeah, for sure. All right. Garda Claire Rafferty, thank you very much as always. And just a reminder for you that if you missed anything there or you just want to recap, it'll be available for you on our Facebook page a little later on. And also it'll be linked on to on Garda Síochána's O'Connor's Facebook page. OK, we'll be back with more in the 9 till noon show after the break. Right, OK. A caller says, working in LUH and meet so many new staff that have arrived here from different parts of the world. Sad that there is no portfolio to inform new staff what, where they can go in their time off and how to travel throughout the county on public transport. Maybe transition year students in secondary school could set one up. What an interesting idea. It really is. Right, OK. Now, we are joined on the programme now by Romeo Challenger. Romeo, good morning to you.
Good morning to you also.
It's great to have you with us. How are you keeping?
Oh, not too bad at all.
Fantastic. People will recognise the name, of course, and they'll certainly recognise the band, because the band Shawadawadi is coming to play in the Northwest. Is it your first time here?
No. We've been here lots of times.
And what?
Not recently, but like certainly late 70s and onwards to maybe end of 80s, early 90s, something like that. We've done the whole of Ireland many, many times, and it was quite a pleasurable, you know, time. Great, great people, great audiences, fantastic.
Yeah, you've been with Shawadawadi since the early 70s, haven't you?
Since the start. I'm a founding member. We got together in 1973. This year is our 50th anniversary.
Can you believe that? You don't look like you could be doing a 50th anniversary tour.
Thank you very much. But yeah, I've lived it and it's been fantastic. And looking forward to coming over.
And I suppose Shawadawadi is the type of band that, I'll name the hits later, but people know them, that you will have a loyal following, people who were maybe teenagers, when Under the Moon of Love was released. But two, at the same time, I presume you see lots of new faces at your gigs, audiences.
Absolutely. It's incredible. We'll be playing away and doing the show, and I can see all the younger people sort of lip syncing the words and everything. That, I mean, you know, so most of them know more about the lyrics than I do. I mean, the thing is also, we've got, there are some members in the band, because I'm the last original person in the band. And we've got some people in the band who are like, late 20s and early 30s. So that some of them, they were like babies when we started, and one or two of them wasn't even born.
I mean, it's a great thing, but also you look ahead and you go, I was doing this before you were born, and then stand out in front of you. Yeah,
that's why I can say that, and I understand that there are a lot of younger people coming to the venues, which is great, you know.
Well, you see, I think what's happened now, we know how the music industry has changed with streaming and all that type of stuff. And for some trying to make a living and start out in the industry, it can be difficult. But you're not now at the behest of Radio 1 or Radio 4 or any radio stations. You've got an audience that can discover you themselves.
Absolutely. I mean, a lot of it, we have to use social media as well, as anybody does. But it'd be nice to have Radio 1 or any radio base, quite honestly. It all helped. But we do have a loyal fan base that, come to our venues up and down the country and in Ireland also.
Yeah, of course. And music travels, doesn't it? That's the great thing about it. It's an international language, though we speak the same language in both Britain and Ireland. But you know what I mean. It crosses all boundaries. So you're the only original founding member. How does it feel now playing these huge songs with a new crop of people?
Well, the thing is, I mean, obviously, it can't be the same because it's like I'm the last one in there, and you look out on stage, and you've got different faces and all that. But it's gelled fantastically. I mean, apart from me, the longest serving member in the band is Andy Pilos, who's been with us 11 years. We've got some people who have been with us a couple of years, blah blah blah, and It's a great band. It's a great band. So I think this lineup is nearly as good as the original.
And when you're putting them together, or who you work with, I presume you want them to get it, don't you? You want them to sort of have the same vibe as you remember. Because you can't fake it, can you? You want them to feel it, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I mean, that's great. I mean, the last person to join was Lowen's Plant, and He was a massive Shawadiwadi fan as a child because his father was. And what I'm saying is, like, for Lawrence, his music and all that and passion is where Shawadiwadi is firmly in. You know, it's great. And as you say, people coming to the venues and the gigs, I've got a lot of it from their parents and stuff, listening to music they played at home. And obviously the kids can pick it up, blah, 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 and move with it.
Romeo, what was it like being famous in the 70s? What was it like sort of...
Well,
It must have just been brilliant. I don't think I'd make it to the 80s, but anyway, go on.
No, it was fantastic because, you know, everywhere you go, I mean, this is because of, like, having so many pop shows on TV at that time. Yeah, you've got Top of the Pops, and you've got the exposure on TV for music was fantastic. Not like it is now. I mean, I can't think of one TV show that's regularly played music. You've got the 70s shows, and you've got the 60s shows, and all that. But they're sort of minor TV stations. But I'm talking about 70s and 80s and all that. They were everywhere. You know, the likes of Mark Bolan had their show, and Basie Rollers at their show, and you know, so many loads of bands have their shows. You know, you've got your Seaside Specials, you've got this, and you've got that. You know, it was fantastic. And of course, you know, as soon as you step out the door, people know who you are and like they're pointing at you and all that. But that was fantastic. But the thing is, after a while, it becomes like the norm,
yeah. Yeah, it's like everything, isn't it? And it's funny, I think what some of the most popular programmes on the likes of BBC Four now are the reruns of Top of the Pops, because it's just one person or two people introducing one good song after the next. And Saturday morning, you'd have the chart show, what have you. And I think now it's so fragmented into different genres of music across a million satellite channels, we've kind of lost the plot of it a little bit.
Yeah. So the thing is, you've got people, some bands who are really massively popular. People really don't know who they are. And they probably know one member, maybe the lead singer, who's always the focal point anyway. But generally, I'm not saying that in the 70s, everybody knows who the band members were. Mm. In just one person, you know, so that's...
Do you just looking at the music industry now, and this is not to be critical of it, okay, because everyone's out there plugging away and wanting to forge their own path. But, you know, you're able now, and you'll fill out the three venues in Ireland here with classic songs, recognisable songs, songs that we played in another 50 years when either you or I aren't here to talk about it, Romeo. And you just look around at what's in the charts at the moment, much of it what I like. And I just wonder what I... classic radio station in 30 years will be playing. I know there's some Adele in there and The Killers, and you know there's some stuff out there that will stand the test of time, but there's an awful lot of stuff that's got a very short cycle. But maybe that's always been the case, has it? Maybe I'm looking back with rose-tinted glasses.
No, you're right. I mean, obviously, like you've got your classic periods and songs from them, and they will always last. Even, you know, you've got classics, you'll have songs today that would eventually become classics. You know, so yeah, some of it, some music or a high percentage of them has actually a very short period of time. The shelf life is very short, but there are some banging stuff coming out from some artists.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Now, we're talking to Romeo, and he is the drummer, of course, with Shawadawadi. Shawadawadi playing the Clannery Hotel here in Letterkenny on the 5th of May. Talk to us a little bit about the show to wrap up, Romeo.
Okay, well, the thing is, we play all the songs. Any song you might associate with Shawadawadi is played. You know, we had 24... hits, I think, and I think we do about 20 of them. You know, Hey Rock and Roll, You Got What It Takes, Angel Lies, When, every song you can think of will play. And of course, anybody coming, it would be lovely if you can sort of dress appropriately in 50s gear.
Brilliant.
If you so wish.
Yes, that would be lovely, wouldn't it? Romeo, it's been an absolute pleasure speaking to you. Thank you so much for joining us. We can't wait for you to come over here to Ireland and continue the super successful tour. So thank you so much. It's been great having you on the programme.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
Take care of yourself, Romeo. That's Romeo Challenger there. They're in the Clannery Hotel on the 5th of May. They are also playing the Town Hall Theatre Clare Morris on the 6th and the Waterfront Hall in Belfast on the 7th of May. That is Shawadawadi and Under the Moon of Love. Okay, let's move on and welcome Andy onto the show. Hi, Andy.
How's it going, Greg?
I'm all right. Okay, so the EU wants to allow 16-year-old drivers out on the road. Their speed limit's capped at around, 45 kilometres per hour. Is this something that you would welcome with open arms or dread with fear, I wonder?
That actually, you've answered my question. It was their speed would be capped at 45 kilometres an hour. I drive a lorry and buses this last 13 or 14 years, and they're all speed limited as well, obviously at a much higher speed. But in my experience, I've found it takes a great deal of patience to deal with a vehicle with a limiter.
Mm.
And I've found you could be driving behind a vehicle at 40 miles an hour, and my speed in the lorry would have been capped at 55 miles per hour, and you would pull out past that vehicle and the vehicle would speed up.
Of course, yeah, I know exactly what you're on about. Yeah.
And it leaves you on the wrong side of the road. And if you're an experienced driver, you obviously know I need to pull back in again. But maybe at 16 years of age or 17 years of age or whatever age you want to limit the younger driver at, at what point does he know to pull back in again? or she or whoever.
Yeah, I get you. And I mean, you know, our roads really aren't equipped for it, aren't they? The majority are, you know, narrow two-laners. You know, maybe in Germany or France, I don't know what the roads are like there. I've never driven there. But maybe they have another lane to accommodate this. We simply don't. It would be not carnage. It's a strong word, especially with what we're talking about. But I think it would be very problematic.
What would be very problematic is, right, especially at 45 kilometres an hour, it's very close to speed that agricultural vehicles be driving at. And, you know, if any time they would come in behind an agricultural vehicle, it would take a long time to pass. If you can only do 2 or 3 mile an hour more than that vehicle, it takes a long time to get past it.
So would it be fair to say, in principle, it wouldn't necessarily, you wouldn't be dead against 16-year-olds being out in the road? It's the limiter, especially as someone who works with one professionally, that's where the problems might turn up.
More so, yes, I would agree with that statement. I don't think, you know, there's plenty of 16-year-olds out there driving tractors and things, and that the maturity maybe between 16 and 17, in my eyes, in my opinion, is not much difference. I wouldn't have much of a problem with that statement, but the actual limiter on a vehicle would be my problem. Like, unless you're well trained or well experienced driver, you need that, the patience, like, to handle a limited vehicle.
And just when you're driving your vehicle and it's capped at 55, that's it. You can put the foot to the floor. There's no capacity, for an exception for an overtaking manoeuvre. Just, this is separate to the, this is just to satisfy my own curiosity. It's 55 and that's that.
It's 55. It's 90 kilometres, I suppose, when we're chatting about.
All right, okay, I get you. Yeah, that makes sense.
It's 90 kilometres, I suppose, and
old money,
Ireland,
new money,
and new money, as we'll say. And it's 100 kilometres for a bus.
Right.
And that's it. When the limiter kicks in, you have nothing. If you're going downhill or something like that, it's only because of weight and momentum that carries you on.
So you really have to plan between the speed limitations and whatever road is in front of you, and, you know, time and deadlines, I'm sure, is a factor as well. You really have to have the skill and the experience to know when you can and can't safely overtake.
Oh, exactly. You know, there's you were chatting about the A5 road there earlier. Like, you know, and as many people know, travelling from Strabane to Ballygolly, if you're going to Dublin, is the worst part of the journey. Like, and on that road, if you're on a lorry or a bus and you pull in behind a tractor at 25, 30 mile an hour, you're behind it quite a long time, because There's not many places you can pass on them roads, and you can't get the speed up to get past them. Like,
yeah. And do you find that road, particularly just whilst we're on it, as a professional driver, Andy, what's your experience of it?
Yeah, no, it's not a pleasant road to be on a any day you have a deadline to get to, there's a lot of very impatient drivers on. Like, and I can understand they're getting frustrated on it, and, you know, especially HGVs and that loaded heavy and stuff. It's not a road that you're doing more than 40 mile an hour at any stage on.
Yeah.
And it's you know, it can frustrate drivers, and you see a lot of hairy passing manoeuvres on it. Like,
yeah, I can imagine. All right, Andy, listen, it's a really, really interesting insight, actually, because it's not something I would have thought of before in terms of these proposals from the EU. So thank you very much for that, Andy. I really appreciate your time.
No problem at all.
Right, take care and safe travels. That's Andy there. Andy makes a really strong point, and he can do from a position of authority on it because he is a professional driver. We've been continuing our conversation about concerns over the number of prescriptions being used for codeine, or issued for codeine-contained medicines. It's surged by 22% since 2012. And as you know, if you've listened to the show regularly, we had local GPs on expressing their concerns about this not so long ago. Fine Gael TD Colm Burke has taken up this issue. Colm, thank you very much for joining us.
You're very welcome.
How long have you been working on this, and when was your concerns peaked, I wonder, Colm?
Well, I'm dealing with, I'm on the Health Committee since 2011, I'm on it over 12 years at this stage, so anything in relation to health issues is of concern to me, and I think it's important that we use medication and we use it correctly, and that we don't have any downsides to it, and therefore I think we need to get more information out there about the use of medication. I mean, the figures that I've shown, and this is as a result of putting down and quite a number of parliamentary questions. So the information I got was to the effect that over 1 million were 110,000 prescriptions were issued in 2022 for codeine products, and that's a huge number. It's a 17% increase since 2018.
Now we're talking, these are strong painkillers.
Yes. Yes, and these are all the painkillers we're talking about. So these are the number of prescriptions, but we don't have an overall figure in real terms because, you know, there's nothing preventing someone saying from buying privately, etc. So, but this is, in, you know, the various schemes, as the these are the figures from, you know, people who would have got medication under the General Medical Services Scheme, the Drug Payment Scheme, and the Long-Term Illness Scheme. There, that's where my figures are coming from, but it's not an overall figure in real terms. The overall figure is higher than this.
So what are the dangers in I mean, obviously it's becoming dependent on these tablets, so pain may have eased, but is it do people feel an addiction to them?
Yes, I think there is this problem that opiates you know, that people can become addicted to them and reliant on them. And that's not what the whole idea of medication was. It's about health, you know, it's about the national drug strategy, it's about reducing harm, supporting recovery. And that's what this medication is for. And I think it's important that we don't have a situation where, you know, it's people become totally dependent on it, and I think it's important that that's, you know, it's important that we get that information out there.
It can also
lead to health disorder as well if people become totally dependent on it, and I think it's important to highlight that issue as well.
A lot of people are being given prescriptions for these, and I don't want to, and I don't think there's any benefit in it in sort of trying to blame or tribute blame to any particular group of individuals. But I mean, a lot of prescriptions are being written and we need to sort of understand the motivation for why those prescriptions are being written. Is the patient saying, you know, pretending to still be in pain if they don't genuinely need them, or are they being prescribed to satisfy, you know, a dependency on them? I mean, I think all of that needs to be teased out, does it?
Yeah, I think it does, but I think it's also about, you know, this is about, you know, in fairness to every GP, I think every GP, before they write a prescription, carefully monitors the health of the patient. I think it's important that, you know, do we need to make a better effort that prescriptions are not the solution, the only solution. And in fairness, where people are waiting, and look, there's no point in denying otherwise, people may be waiting for medical procedures, and that's why they're on the pain relief. We need to see what we further work we can do on that. In fact, in particular under the drug, under the treatment purchase scheme, should we be doing a more proactive approach with regards to getting people in and out of for the care that they require in a faster time frame? And I think we have a lot of work to do on that, and there's no point saying otherwise. But look, the big issue that we have, and I was just looking at the figures from the States, and that's in relation to the number of deaths in 2021 from overdose deaths involving prescription opiates. In fact, was over 16,000. And in fact, in relation to drug overdosing in the States in 2021 was 106,000 deaths. So we need to be aware that there are long-term consequences where there's a constant use of medication, and it can lead to other harmful outcomes.
The one thing too, though, I would like to see as part of this process, if it is a case that it's prescription only, is that we do consider there are a lot of people who are dependent on the ones that you can get in the pharmacy, right? And that we need to make sure that they are supported, or that it's taken into consideration that, okay, there are going to be people out there that are taking them because there is an addiction, and it's not necessarily because of pain relief. And we don't know what kind of impact the inavailability of them might have on them. Do you get where I'm coming from? That we
I think in fairness to pharmacists, I think pharmacists are doing a very good job. I think they're managing quite carefully, and I think in fairness to them, most of them, you know, where they have a regular patient coming into them, they can actually, you know, work out, well, is this in the best interest of the patient or their customer? The big problem that pharmacists have is when people drop in and they're not a regular customer, and then it's very hard for pharmacists to assess the situation. And I think, in fact, there are some areas where we could give more power to pharmacists, and there are some areas where we need to have more cooperation, I suppose, mm-hmm. between GPs and pharmacists.
I think pharmacists need a bit of protection on this as well, because we've had stories in the past here, Colm, in that someone went into a pharmacist, the pharmacist said, tried to take them, they were buying, I can't remember which one, but I think people know the most common brand in pharmacists. He was trying to buy them. Pharmacist took them to one side and said, look, you know, had a brief conversation with them. He stormed out, not happy with it at all. Created quite a bit of tension there. And he said he'd never be back in there again. The pharmacist's hands are somewhat tied in that they are the firewall here. And perhaps it shouldn't be their job. So what, yeah. I mean...
But I think in fairness to them, they do a very good job.
They do, but they shouldn't, they should not have to, I don't think they should have to be the person saying, sorry, no.
Absolutely.
Because this is a non-prescription drug, you see. So... We had the GPs on the show not so long ago expressing their concerns. You're on the health committee there, of course, long-standing now. You've got your concerns. So what happens next? Because this seems like a very hot topic at the moment. Are we going to see action?
Well,
if
basically,
so what?
The National Drugs and the Health Products Regulatory Authority is currently carrying out a review, and they're to complete a report and submit it back to the Department of Health, and I presume it's only when that report comes back. And I think... what I'm highlighting now, the need for that report to be carried out as soon as possible and back to the Department of Health, and then that the Department of Health would act on its recommendations and move forward. And I think there's also a need for consultation as well with the medical profession and with the pharmacy union about this issue. What is the best way forward? What are the mistakes that have been made in other countries that we want to make sure we don't make? And how can we, I suppose, work towards reducing down the dependency level by some people at this stage. And I think it's for their own benefit that we reduce down the dependency in real terms.
Right, we're a border county and we could end up with codeine tourists. What is the situation in Northern Ireland? Are they available over the counter? Do you require a prescription?
I'm not clear as regards the current practice in Northern Ireland.
I think that'd be really important in terms of forming any
absolutely, and I think
policy,
it's about, and I think it's well about whatever we do in the South and taking that into account, that we would work with the medical profession and the regulatory authorities in Northern Ireland. And I think there is a lot of cooperation between the medical in relation to, there are certain procedures done in Dublin that are not available in Northern Ireland. There are certain procedures done in Northern Ireland that are not available in Dublin. And there's a lot of cooperation. And I think that's something that this, we can also cooperate. And I think it's extremely important that we would.
Right. As soon as this conversation starts, there's going to be a lot of hoarding as well. And I just hope people that are dependent on them are considered in this, and that we don't have tens of thousands of people who can't get a product who are desperate for them.
Yeah, I think it's important that we take that into account, you know, and in any changes that occur, it is important where someone has become very dependent, even though it mightn't be a prescription drug, but could become a prescription drug, we have to work with those people as well. And I gave the example, I was doing some PRs this morning, I gave the example of a lady who was 15 years on medication and different types of medication. And she was inside an hospital, and the medical consultant decided he was actually taking her off all of medication. And as a result, she went into the DTs. She was on so much medication, and she was now so reliant on it. And she actually went into withdrawal symptoms and had to go through that whole process so he could start the a careful management of medication for her. But I mean, but she had to go through that whole withdrawal symptom, which is quite a difficult thing for someone to do. And I remember that happening for someone that I knew a number of years ago. So, like, there are a lot of challenges in this area, but it is important that we deal with it carefully and that we manage it carefully and that we involve all of those that are working the front line on this issue.
All right, Colm, thanks for your time. I appreciate it. That's Fine Gael Deputy Colm Burke. What's your views? 086 60 25,000. WhatsApps and text that number, or give us a call on 074 91 25,000. A caller says, big congratulations to Kieran Gallen in Rathmullen. He was over at Sheffield for the World Snooker Championships final. Fair play to Kieran getting a ticket. And the caller goes on to say, what a brilliant final with Barcel winning and Selby making a 1-4-7 break. Kieran made few appearances on TV during the final two. That's coming in from Danny. And it was for what on the face of it should be such a boring sport. It's not. It was excellent. I didn't know. I like Mark Selby. I didn't know who wanted to win. But Luca Barcel, he was excellent and has a great way of playing the game as well. A complete contrast to Selby. He likes to drag you down into the trenches and break your spirit there, whilst you have Barcel, who is very flamboyant and never been past the first round, I don't think, has he? But anyway, it was a good spectacle. It's all over now, so if you're a big snooker fan, don't know what you're going to watch for the next while, because although, even if there is more snooker on, it kind of pales into insignificant for a few months after the World Championships are over. But good entertainment. History made in that Barcel, the first Belgian player ever to win, and also Selby making the first ever maximum break in a World Championship final, and his first, I believe, in Sheffield as well, if I'm not mistaken. I often am. I hope I'm not. A caller says, in relation to the location of the tourist office, they should have buses leaving from the cathedral taking people to the same tourist destinations every day, say at certain times at 12 p.m. and 2 p.m. That's all people want and need. Hopefully this would increase tourism in the area. It would just be a town the size of Letterkenny should have, even if it's not for profit, even if it doesn't work to begin with, just to people get used to it, it should have a network of buses going, electric buses as well, going all over the place. You know, maybe they'll be empty for 2 or 3 years until such time as people's attitudes change or people can trust the service a little bit. It's a town of the size that definitely warrants something like that. And a bus should go past the tourist office and into the town, you know, a couple of times an hour.